I'm thankful for the opportunity to come before you, thankful for the invitation. I had a good dinner with Brother Keith and his family. Thankful for that and the time that we got to spend together. You know, looking and seeing so many people that have chosen to come out today, it kind of fits right in and dovetails with our subject matter this evening, a look at priorities. I believe as it was in your flyer that you had sent out, priority in the 21st century. And if there is something that is glaringly obvious to those that are paying attention is that in this day and age, priority is much needed. If we look at Matthew 7, verse 16, we see that at the beginning of that verse it says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And then a little further on, in verse 18, at the beginning, it says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit." It says something. The things that we do, the things that we make a priority in our lives, the things that we choose to do in our lives, they say something about us. They are the fruits of our labors, so to speak, the things that we set forth before people to show them what we're about. We should think about our priorities. We should think about the fruits that we're bearing in our daily lives. If you look at 1 Peter, 2 Peter 3, at verse 11, it says there, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" To kind of set the tone for our lesson this evening, we should think about what manner of persons we ought to be in holy conduct when we look around and everything that we see and that we hold dear, the shiny car that we may have in the parking lot, the beautiful home that we may, Lord willing, get to go home to here in just a little bit. That may be what we're all wrapped up in as human beings. It's certainly what society is wrapped up in. So as we think tonight, we should think about what manner of persons we ought to be in holy conduct. Let's read at the beginning of the scripture there on your screen, starting at verse 10, just to give us some context here. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. He also, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." I know that's a long bit of scripture there to put up on the screen, but we want to think about all of those things that were mentioned there, all of the things that can then drag us away, understanding that all these things will be burnt up and pass away. With that in mind, let's begin to look a little bit at priorities. You know, this quote up on the screen there in the picture says, "It's not about having enough time, it's about making enough time." You know, we can't add another moment to the day. We have the amount of time that we have. We need to use it properly and to fit into the parameters of the 24-hour day that the Lord has given us, we need to fit the things that are pleasing to Him. In Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11, we read there, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." You know, you can look a little bit more at Ecclesiastes 2 on your own. But Solomon gives great insight into the profitability of earthly desires, and there really, really is very little profit in earthly desires. Now look at those in our society that quote-unquote have it all, that have money and possessions and the things that we long for, the fancy cars, the nice houses, and then the lifestyle that is led. The fast and loose lifestyle that is propagated by our popular culture. You turn on the television, drive down the road, for that matter, and look at some of the billboards that you'll come across. And you'll see depicted a fast and loose lifestyle that really, in the end, is going to lead to emptiness and despair. Solomon knew it all too well in Ecclesiastes 1, at verse 9, he said, "That which has been is what will be, that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun." All these things that we look at in the scriptures and we think, hopefully we don't think this, but many people in the world today think that it's just an antiquated group of stories, and it's just maybe some good ideas are in there, but it really isn't the God-breathed Word of God, is what most, well, what a lot of people in the world today will think. You know, there's nothing wrong with pursuing some earthly recreation, with having some nice things. I'm not here to tell you to go and sell everything you own and have nothing in your life of a physical nature. But all things must be done in decently and in order, as 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40 says. Now, that's speaking to our operation within the church and what we do within the body of the church. But Philippians 1:27 says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We need to have our conduct be in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ has been given to us that we might have everlasting life, that we might take advantage of what is being offered. It's up to us to make sure that we walk in such a way that we can be, or that we are worthy of such a thing. As we look at today's busy lifestyles, now, this is in no particular order, and some of these are just a snippet from my day-to-day life and my family's day-to-day life. You could probably add some more things that you would do on a day-to-day basis. But Boy Scouts, for one thing, could be something that takes up some time. Boy Scouts may interfere at some point. I know that the troop that my sons belong to, when they go on a camp out, is just by nature of what they've done for however many years. They start out on a Friday night, and then they go through until a Sunday morning. And most of the scouts go home on a Sunday morning. Well, that interferes with the services of the Lord's church, so we have a decision to make, don't we? So when we think of the busy lifestyle we have and the things that we may do, the Girl Scouts, another thing that my daughter is involved in, 4-H, all my children are involved in, and martial arts, and maybe there's sports practice that happens, and maybe the coaches are saying, you know, I've known coaches that would have sports practices on Christmas morning, on Thanksgiving morning, and so on, and that should, not that those are any special holiday to us, but it really speaks to how bold it is that sports, whatever your activity that we can speak of, that it has become more important than almost anything, more important than time with family, and certainly a lot of the times more important than the services of the church. Work can get in the way. Now, you know, we have jobs, and sometimes we're called away. Maybe some among us are doctors, and they may be called into duty at a time that is inconvenient. But that's not going to happen every single Sunday. That's not going to happen every single time that the saints come together. So what I'm really speaking about are those that, with intent, decide, well, I'm just not going to go and assemble with the saints. That not these things that pop up and, you know, if you're ill and you're sick. I'm not speaking about that. I'm not speaking about an emergency type of situation that you may be called into. But those that premeditate ahead of time and say, you know what, I don't feel like that today. I'm just going to stay in bed, or I'm going to go do this, that, or the other thing. Sunday services of the church take up some time. They do. And it's something that, out of all of the things, reminding you of our opening scripture, you know, since all these other things are going to be burned up, what manner of people ought we to be? We're not going to put things in order here, but you can start to see that there needs to be an order. There needs to be an order of these things that can happen in a day, in our day-to-day lives. Midweek Bible study with the saints. Gospel meetings. You know, there are many gospel meetings that take place several times a year all around us. And it's edifying for those that put on, and you put gospel meetings together. The elders here put together a gospel meeting, and it's good to have it well attended. The efforts that have been put forth tonight to assemble together. It's really good and edifying for me and for everybody in this room that there are so many that have come out to look into the Word. School events and professional sporting events and entertainment events. The me time. You know, I don't know about Keith, but as a preacher, when it comes to Monday, sometimes it's nice to just stare at the wall because you expended a lot of energy on the goings-on of Sunday. And sometimes it's good to just step back for a moment and have some time, take a walk in the woods, do whatever you need to clear your thoughts. There's nothing wrong with that, but not at the expense of the things that the Lord would have us to do. So for the rest of our time here, let's look at some priorities that are pleasing to God. Now we should ask ourselves, what are our priorities? Maybe you've not thought about it too much. Maybe it's just, you just do what you have to do in your daily life. Of course, there's no time for an exhaustive list of all of these things. You know, we won't, rest assured, I won't preach until midnight. There's no time for an exhausted list, but a few of these we want to look at and get us started on the way to thinking of our priorities and continuing to think about our priorities. Now, we should be looking forward to His promise. We should be looking forward to that hope that we have. In 2 Peter 3, verses 13 and 14, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless." Now, diligence. It takes work to put your nose to the grindstone and to work towards being found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. It is something that takes some fortitude. It's not easy. It's not easy work. When we look forward, and a little excerpt from Strong's dictionary here, means to expect, to look for, to wait for. So if you expect and you know that these things that you see around you are coming to an end, and you know that you have a hope that is waiting for you to take hold of it, a hope of heaven after a while. You expect that, then why is it that so many choose to do those other things and seek after those things that, as we've well established, are going to be gone? Being diligent means to not give up. You know, that faithfulness, it takes work, just like a marriage. Let me ask you, for those of you that are married or contemplating being married someday or have been married, think on this. How would your marriage work if you just put a little bit of time into it? How would your marriage work if you just spent as little time as possible with your spouse? You decided that I'm just going to put in enough time to keep them here, to keep them and put in just enough time so that they'll still call me their spouse. How would that work if we attacked that kind of a situation with the fervor that most in the world today think of spiritual things? You know, I came across this little tidbit on social media not too long ago, and it's really, maybe it's just deep to me, but when you look at this, and you look at this little statement here, the more you miss church, the less you miss church. The more you're not here, the more that you decide it's just not important, the less it becomes important to you. You know, you just don't think about it as much anymore. But turn that around, too. The more that you miss church and you look forward to the promise and you look forward to being with the church, the more you look forward to being with the saints and working out your salvation and looking into the Word of God, the less you miss church. When you are looking forward to the promise, it's not going to be an issue. You're going to show up. You're going to be a good worker in the kingdom. Another thing, another priority that is pleasing to God is growing in the knowledge of Christ. We need to be sure that in our diligence, as we work hard every day, that we are diligent to make sure that we grow in the knowledge of Christ. And how do we do that? 2 Peter 3:17 and 18 again. Therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And we just read that a few moments ago. And it's important that we grow in the knowledge of Christ and not the error of the wicked that will lead us away. There's a lot of error out there. If you look at the religious world today and look at, you know, drive down the streets just here in the town of Barberton and look at how many churches there are out there. And look at what they believe. Now it's easy. You can get on their website and kind of see what they're into and what they believe. And you see error. Brother Keith mentioned at dinner that, you know, looking at a website at one church and then across town at another, they're conflicting each other. And we need to be sure that we aren't led away with those things. We need to be steadfast, and we need to be diligent. We need to have our noses in our Bibles so that we may understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, we've been warned. It's prudent to seek Christ's knowledge. In Proverbs 18 and verse 15, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. It's important that we seek out that knowledge. And the knowledge that we have, we have Bibles that we can open up and we can look into. You know, in Medina, from every year, the congregation, the church at Medina, we will have a booth at the Medina County Fair. And the first year that I had opportunity to do that, this little conversation will stick in my head. I had a conversation with a lady, and we had Bibles on the table that could be taken by those passing by, and a lady looked down at the Bible and looked at me and said, "I have a Bible, and I know exactly where it is. It's in my cedar chest at home, and it's been there since 1962. Well, that's just, wow. So, growing in the knowledge of Christ, we can't do that with your Bible in a box somewhere for 40 or 50 years. It's not going to do you any good. As we look at our Bibles, do they make noises when they open? Do they creak? Do the pages stick together? They do that because they're not used. Now, as we know that in today's day and age, we have electronic Bibles that we can use, but you still have to use them. As we continue to think here, we understand that growing in the knowledge of Christ is by the Word. Ephesians 3 at verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And then bring to mind Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Well, we have to open up the Scriptures in order for that to happen. Another priority that is pleasing to God and something that each of us should work diligently for in our lives is to maintain purity. Again, as I mentioned a little bit ago, you drive down the road and sometimes you're blindsided by an advertisement on a sign, or maybe something comes on the radio, or you're watching television at home and something pops up, an advertisement that you don't have control over at that moment until you turn it off or you avert your eyes. There are many, many things out there seeking to interrupt our working towards being pure. We need to have pure hearts. 2 Timothy 2 of verse 22 reminds us, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." A pure heart is pleasing to God, and it's something that as we work out our salvation, as we work day to day to be pleasing to Him, we should aim to have that pure heart. Our desires can be a detriment to our purity. Now, again, it's not bad in and of itself to desire certain things. But think about all of the desires of man and ask if they're profitable. Are they conducive to purity? And almost most of the things that might come to your mind can be pursued to a degree, but they can quickly snowball and get out of control. Now, I grew up here in Barberton, just a short little ways away from this building, and grew up loving cars. I'm a car guy, and it was nothing for me to be out in the driveway as many hours as I could working on the car and polishing it up and having a good time with that. My dad also enjoyed that, and there's a place that is no longer open, as I understand it, Winks, down the way here, and they had car shows, and we were always there. And in fact, you get into the car show circuit, and you start taking cars to a lot of car shows, and you end up running into a lot of conflicts with maybe other things that you should be doing. So, in and of itself, it's not a bad thing to desire to have a nice car and to polish it up and maybe take it to a car show or two. But it can quickly get out of control. And it's hard to maintain your purity when you're allowing yourself to be dragged away by all those desires. Philippians 4, verses 7 and 8 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." We have direction right there into those things that we should think about. We should think about those things that are true, those things that are noble, that are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if they have virtue. We need to maintain our purity by making sure that we seek after those things. Now, as we've sort of already touched on the subject of seeking wisdom through the Word, seeking wisdom is another priority that pleases God. You know, Proverbs 15 at verse 33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Now, wisdom is different than knowledge. You can know a whole lot, but it doesn't make you wise. You know, I had a friend one time who, coming up through school, he was in all the honor classes, and he was a very intelligent person. Still is. But as children growing up, I saw him do some of the craziest things. Things that made me question just how intelligent he was at times. And he had a lot of knowledge, and he knew many things, but he didn't have wisdom sometimes in some of his actions. And we need to remember that. We may know, we can open up the book and we can look into the scriptures, but we need to seek wisdom. We need to not only know what the Word says, but take it in and let it rattle around a little bit and see if we can make decisions based on those things that we know of the scriptures. The more you read it, the more you look into the scriptures, the more it makes sense, the more you have that mind of Christ, the more you come to understand, well, I shouldn't do that because. And maybe some of those becauses wouldn't have hit you before, wouldn't have come to your mind. Proverbs 8, verses 12 through 13 says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." Matthew 7 and verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." It's not enough to just hear the sayings. It's not enough to just sit down and hear the word spoken. It's not enough to just hear the noise, so to speak, but to hear with understanding and apply it in our lives. If we look at, if we really boil it down, everything really comes down to authority. When you look back there at Proverbs 15, at verse 33 at the top of the screen, you know, as we already mentioned, wisdom is more than knowing something. But fearing the Lord puts and acknowledges that Christ has the authority. It acknowledges the holder of the authority. Knowing and understanding what the will of the Father is of the utmost importance. Matthew 28:18 reminds us that Christ was given all authority. And as one preacher I know often says, if Christ has all the authority, how much does that leave you and me? A couple of you in this room know who I'm talking about that said that. But it's a good thought. It's a good thought. Christ has all authority. Once the authority is understood, once we wrap our mind around the fact that should be quite evident to us, but as human beings, I've been there, we've all been there. It's sometimes we have a hard head. Once we understand authority, you know, the wisdom comes from the practicing of that knowledge. And humility goes hand in hand with gaining wisdom. It is not comfortable to be told that you've done something wrong. It's not comfortable to be told that you've spent your entire life maybe in a religious denomination and being told that you've been wrong all those years. That one of the most heart-wrenching realizations that comes about is grandma was wrong, grandpa was wrong, my mother and father were wrong. And that carries with it some heavy implications. And if we're seeking the wisdom of the Lord, we'll understand that He has the authority and that what He says goes. Another, as we continue on, another important priority that is certainly pleasing to God is evangelism. Matthew 28:18 that we just referred to just a moment ago and following. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2. "Imitate me just as also I imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." It's important that we keep things just as they are stated in the Scriptures. There are many, many religious groups out there that have volume after volume after volume of additions to the Scriptures. I went to a quote-unquote Christian college in my younger years. And where I chose to study in the library each day, I had a little corner that no one else seemed to go to up in the top part of the library. And I'd go there because it was quiet and I'd study. And it just happened to be adjacent to the stacks and stacks of Methodist doctrine manuals. And even back then, not being a Christian, even back then, looking at those stacks and stacks of books, understanding that, wow, why do they have so many of those? You know, every 4 years they're coming out with another one. They're coming out with another one. Why do we need 500 volumes to explain this one? And it's shocking. It's all the more important that we go out and that we share the word with those that are around us, because how else are they going to know? You know, think back to, if you're a Christian here tonight, think back to the person that helped lead you to a knowledge of the truth. Think back to that teaching moment that went on. And think back to where you'd be, likely, if that teaching moment never took place. We need to be those that are evangelistic in mindset. Acts 8 and verse 4 says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Now, when we speak about imitating Christ, realize that in Luke 19 and verse 10, we read, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." As we think about our priorities tonight in this day and time that we live, and with all of the things that can drag us away, as we think about those priorities, let's ask another question. Those that are used to me being up here in front of them know that I like questions. Would you be called a Christian? Would you be called a Christian if everyone knew your secret thoughts? Everyone knew what you were really all about? Because we can put on a good front when we go out in public. But if everyone knew what we really thought, would we be called a Christian? If everyone knew the places that I go or the things I allow myself to see, what would you be called a Christian? You know, we have, probably most of us here today have a cell phone. It's in one of my pockets. I was going to hold it up for an example, but you know what I mean. We have these smartphones, and they can do just about anything. I mean, my smartphone that I have is more powerful than my first computer that I had that took up a whole desk. You know, it's really shocking how much can be done, but for all the good that can be done, and you know, the digital Bible that you can pull up on there and the good communication that you can have with others, there's so much bad that can come from it if we allow ourselves to get into that. It's probably a good idea for each of us, even though we may do this for our children, but even the adults, to set the little parameters on your security settings on your phone to keep you from falling into some of the traps that you see that you might come your way out there on the internet. Would you be called a Christian? Can Christ be seen in me? can people look at you and understand from your actions, from those fruits that are coming out because of your priorities, the things that you've chosen in your daily lives? Can Christ be seen in those decisions, in those priorities? Finally, as we bring everything to a close here tonight, we want to ask if my priorities please God. As we think on those priorities, are they pleasing to God? Have we done what He says needs to be done? Now, the gospel of Christ says that all must hear. We read Romans 10:17 a little bit ago. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe that He is who He says He is. We must repent and turn away from our sins, having a new purpose in our lives, leaving those old ways behind. We must confess Christ before men. We must be baptized for the remission of sins, where we contact the saving blood of Christ. Have you done those things? And if you haven't, why not? What's holding you up? How can we be of assistance here this evening to help you make that decision? Because, as we heard in the beginning, since all these things will be gone, what manner of person ought we to be? And then the hardest part of the life of a Christian is to remain faithful. Every day of our lives we have to wake up, put our feet on the ground, and set forth to do the will of the Lord and to seek Him all the more. Revelation 2:10 reminds us that if we're faithful until death, we'll receive the crown of life. As I look around, each of us is still breathing. We need to still remain faithful. So as you think on your priorities, think about that tonight, and think of if you need to put on Christ for the first time in the waters of baptism. I know that that can be made to happen. If you have fallen away and would like the prayers of the saints here, again, that's what we're here for, to be a support to one another. One more thing before we close, and the lesson is yours. Ecclesiastes 12, there at the beginning, first few verses, says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim." There may come a time, maybe sooner for some, later for others, there may come a time where it's not going to be possible for you to obey the gospel of Christ. Maybe you'll have fallen into a situation where a health problem puts you in a place where it becomes very difficult at the very least. So not to be alarmist, but each of us, as we think about our priorities, needs to also realize that we have a limited number of days, a limited number of breaths on this earth. We need to be sure that we're in alignment with the will of the Lord. If you're subject to the invitation, by all means, please come forward as we stand and sing.
I must east of come by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this.